from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Now I'm self-conscious. Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. They're dogging me in the chatty house for how I say number two.
What?
Yeah. All in fun.
I don't know.
It's all jokes.
I worked with Kelly Johnson at NBC.
NBC sports legend.
Yeah, who's amazing. She's a super cool person.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever heard her say point guard?
No.
Point guard?
Like, oh, is it a little Boston accent?
It's not Boston. It's Southwestern, and it's drawn. She's from, however she says it.
Lord?
I don't know.
Is it like a...
You know who else says it like that? Who? Is our boss, Stacy.
Oh, Midwestern.
Yeah, Midwestern.
Oh, that, like Chicago.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, the way they say it is like... They don't say point guard. It's like point guard. They put an emphasis on the wrong.
Uptick.
Yeah, it's like a weird. You're like, wait, what did you just say? I just funny. Like you're on the air. You're like, I don't know what you just said. That was weird.
You said what? That's James and Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. It's the second hour. Second keyword coming up right now. I'm just doing this because. Here's what happens every single time. I look down at the rundown and I go, oh, keyword.
Don't forget that.
And then I go, I'll get to it. And then we don't because we start talking about whatever.
Random.
And then this very important thing we have to do goes by the wayside. So August 16th, it's a Friday. ESPN 1320 has a suite at Sutter Health Park. We can't fill it, so we're having you do it for us. Come hang out with us. You can win your tickets now at ESPN1320.com. You'll see the contest page. Mm-hmm. Go to that contest page. The first keyword today was strike, in case you missed it. Strike. Then you can enter, after you do that, you can enter again with this second keyword that I'm going to give you right now. It is foul. As in foul ball, as in foul pole, as in...
foul smelling.
Foul out.
Oh, foul tip.
Oh, nice, dude.
Foul ground.
Grift. Foul ground. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also foul grift.
Foul territory.
Good. Yep.
Yeah.
Keep going. Foul. Did I already say ball?
Yeah. Foul ball. Yes. I think it's a foul. Foul play.
F-O-U-L.
F-O-U-L.
Foul. No, not Zabo. Not with the F-O-U-L.
Yep.
That's it.
F-O-U-L.
Thanks, everybody, listening on ESPN 1320. Thanks, everybody, listening on the free Odyssey app and everybody hanging out with us in the chatty house at twitch.tv/ESPN1320, youtube.com/ESPN1320. We have talked so much about the Olympics today, and I can't believe we haven't gotten to this. Did you see that an Australian field hockey player pulled a Ronnie Lott?
Yeah.
That's incredible. If you missed it, Matthew Dawson, who plays field hockey for Australia, has been training for this moment his entire life. He has early mornings, late nights, grinding away to become a field hockey Olympian. Well, Dawson, who's 30, severely injured the ring finger on his right hand 2 weeks ago in practice.
Oh.
So the ring finger on his right hand, and you can imagine in a sport like field hockey, having your fingers healthy is a pretty important thing.
Yeah.
So surgery was an option, but when they told him surgery was an option, they said, you're going to be out a few months. And he looked at the calendar and he said, I have 2 weeks to Paris. Not an option.
No.
Been training for this for 4 years. And they said, okay, fine. You can cut off a little bit of your finger instead and avoid the surgery. And he said, bet, I'll do that. His wife was like, don't do anything rash. And he's like, no, no, no.
He called his wife. That's what that's the best part. He's like, yeah, I call my wife. And she's like, yeah, don't do anything crazy. It's like, well, what exactly is crazy?
So here's exactly what it says. This is via the Associated Press. Captain Aaron Zalewski said teammates were shocked. Dawson's wife warned him against making any rash choice. Despite that, Dawson told 7 News in Australia he made a, quote, informed decision.
I've watched the video of it. Of him giving this interview.
Did Ronnie Lott do it? Yeah. Ronnie Lott did it.
It's like,
it's fine.
Yeah, I'm not missing. He's a gamer, man. He's a gamer.
He's very, quote, very fortunate that it's just a little bit of my finger. Dawson views the sacrifice as part of their commitment required to pursue his Olympic dream, much like the years of practice and tough personal decisions that define an athlete's life. They won silver in Tokyo, so he believed they had a chance to win gold here in Paris. So he lopped off a little bit of his finger and said, party time.
I wonder if he asked if he could, like, keep it in a jar.
Ew.
So no. He could show people.
It's going to decay and get all nasty.
But like,
do we know how much of the finger it is?
It's at least to the first knuckle.
Dang.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, how do you, that's pretty bad.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to imagine my hand sans
just a knuckle?
One knuckle. So your nail is gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The whole nail, the whole fingertip is gone.
I think I could, you know what? I think I could live with that.
Because
if it's exists the rest of my life without this much of my ring finger on my right hand.
Yeah.
Or miss the Olympics, probably his last one. He's 30.
I wonder, though, Kyle, could you still type effectively with your multiple typing jobs? All of a sudden, you would have one finger that was shorter.
I'm on ASDFJK semicolon.
Would it still work? Would you have to completely relearn it?
You'd see the right arm come down to reach with my nub.
Like a slip and fall.
Just boom.
On your keyboard.
JKL semicolon. Like, yeah, I think that's how it would work. Because can you imagine, you go, you know what, I want to keep my entire right ring finger. Again, it's not the whole finger, it's not down to the second, it's the tip of his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And they chopped it off. I'm imagining in like a non-barbaric fashion, they don't just put your hand down with a butcher knife and say, here
or
it
take
goes.
Like a cigar.
Yeah, tip. No, you probably get numbed out and then it might be like a cigar cutter. I'd imagine. I don't. This is going to make me queasy if we dive too far into this. But there's some kind of. So the option is you lose that part of your finger for the rest of your life, or you potentially have this surgery where you're at home watching your team that you've been preparing with for 4 years. If they won a gold medal and you're sitting at home with your surgically repaired ouchie, I wouldn't be able to live with myself, dude.
Oh, no, no.
I can exist without the tip of my right ring finger.
I think I would say go ahead and...
Yeah. That's what Ronnie Lott did. Ronnie Lott made the same choice.
It was his... Ronnie Lott was a pinky, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was pinky.
Yeah.
And he didn't have, like, the entire pinky removed. He had a portion of the pinky removed.
Yeah, I think it was the same thing.
Yeah.
I think it was the same issue.
He might have gone to the second knuckle, like Ronnie
Lott.
You think it's just the top?
He doesn't have that...
Now I'm gonna have to Google running.
Yeah,
locks.
Now we're diving. We're diving deep on finger amputations here on the Insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. Speaking of the Olympics, okay, Team USA plays South Sudan tomorrow. Oh, go ahead.
It's just the tip of his left pinky.
I don't want to do this now because this is not the program, but I want to know what happens to the finger that it's either have surgery and be out for months, or we can just cut the tip of your finger off and you're good to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to know what that injury is. Is there is it internal bleeding in the tip of the finger that has to be surgically repaired?
No, it's just that there would be like a massive crush fracture or something where they're going to have to piece the thing back together and you're going to have to wait for it to heal. But even that, there's a good chance that if it's that bad that they would probably have to potentially fuse the fingertip. It depends on how much damage you did.
Hmm.
And even that might end your career as a field hockey superstar. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know. I personally, Kyle, we discussed this earlier. I did not know that there was men's field hockey.
I legitimately did not know that either.
Yeah, I did not know.
Because I think at least when I was at Stretch Internet down in Arizona, that's where I worked with our friend Tony. In fact, you know what? We're going to get to Tony here in a second. He's not joining the show literally, but he will in a sense. When I was at Stretch Internet, that's all the college field hockey was all women's.
Mm.
So I didn't know. Learned something new. That's part of why the Olympics are great. I watch gymnastics once every 4 years, and I'm watching this oh, she messed up. Nope. Misstep, can't do that. She's got to be better.
Yeah, we're experts on. Oh, she did not get the proper lift off of the.
I'd be a terrible gymnastics judge because this all looks amazing to me.
Everything they do.
Simone Biles will do something, and I'm like, wow, what an icon. And they're like, oh no, see, that's a misstep. She's not going to be happy with that score. I'm like, what? She did 6 backflips at once in the air.
Yeah, on up.
And she landed a little bit on her right foot instead of both. You win. That's a 10. You did it.
Yeah.
Everybody would get 10s from me.
That's right.
The athletic feat that is accomplished anytime anyone does anything in gymnastics, that's just 10 points. You get a perfect score. You did it.
Yeah.
You did a backflip on the balance beam. Nailed it. Here's 10.
10 points for you.
10 points. You got onto the balance beam. You jumped and front flipped onto the balance beam.
I'm in.
She's a superhero.
She did not fall off. I'm in.
Sign her up. It's crazy. Speaking of, we're talking about field hockey. If you're a frequent listener of the program, you will remember Tony Simeone, who's a buddy of mine that I worked with down in Arizona when we worked at a video streaming company. His life path took him to Harvard as a producer and broadcaster for their sports, and then to Notre Dame, where he broadcasts sports for Notre Dame, but has developed a good relationship with NBC. Long story short, he winds up broadcasting the Olympics. He did field hockey. And a bunch of us tapped in when he called his game on Saturday. I believe it was Saturday at 10:45 a.m.
Yep.
The U.S. was beat 5-1 by Argentina. 4-1?
4-1.
4-1 by Argentina. And it was 5 total goals. Yeah, 4-1. And did a great job. Sounded great. The U.S. tied Spain in their second match and had an incredible play that went viral with Tony on the call. And here it is. Friend of the program, Tony Simeone's viral moment with these Olympics.
How much are individual
Nope, that's not the right one. That is Shannon Sharp. We'll get to that in a second. Here's Tony.
She scored yesterday. She went top right to the keeper's left. This time it won't be rear. Oh, they misdirect. Oh, on the end line, it's kept out. Somehow the U.S. It's Ashley Hoffman on the doorstep preventing the goal, and now they're in transition. Here comes the United States towards the net. Swung on, and it's in. Team USA in transition takes the lead.
Hell yeah, Tony.
That was
awesome.
That's
a great call. That's a great call. And I texted him and I said, hey, man, no BS. I'm not just saying this because you're the homie. That was outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, he went, thanks, a couple of hiccups in there. But again, they're watching on a monitor. They don't send, I think, gymnastics, basketball, men's and women's basketball, and maybe women's soccer are the only broadcast teams from the U.S. that are there.
Oh, wow.
There might be one additional one, but everybody, tennis, golf, field hockey, rowing, whatever, is broadcasting from their home base in Connecticut.
Yes.
In these little makeshift broadcast booths where it's broadcaster and color analyst, and they're watching the game on TV, essentially. And these rooms aren't huge, so it's not like a movie theater screen. You're trying to catch all this action on a TV monitor.
Yeah.
You can't get number or name. You can't identify anybody. So the fact that he had all that going against him and still put together that call, super impressive.
Oh, it was amazing.
Shout out to Tony.
Yeah. Very, very excited for him. And hey, the play was unbelievable.
Incredible.
Incredible stop by the keeper.
Yeah.
Goes right to a defender who flings it all the way down the left side.
Yeah.
Just and then gets all the way to the end line, cuts it, like flicks it back.
Yep.
Spin move, goal.
I don't know anything about field hockey.
It
looked perfectly executed.
It was awesome.
It looked like the kind of thing that as a coach, it's just teach tape. It's like, this is exactly how you do it.
Yeah.
This is how it gets done. So, good for Tony. Let's get to that other soundbite since we're here. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Luol Deng paying out of pocket for the South Sudanese basketball team.
Yes.
Their entire program for the last 4 years. 4 years?
4 years he's paid.
He's just out of pocket. Flights,
hotels,
practice facilities,
food,
renting
gyms.
Everything has been Luol Deng's money.
Uniforms, shoes, yep. Like everything.
Everything. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how basically in the Olympics, this is it for you. This is it. You're reaching the pinnacle of your sport in a lot of these things. But there's no millions of dollars in bonuses available.
Mm-mm.
There will be for somebody like Simone Biles. Simone Biles is doing fine with I'm sure she has speaking engagements and endorsements and all that. She's doing fine. But there's a lot of these athletes who are going to have their moments in these Olympics and then it kind of fade into the background.
Yeah.
Potentially until the next 4 years. But I don't know how many big time endorsements there are out there for lesser known track athletes or
even badminton.
Like, badminton, thank you.
What you're gonna be the official like branded name of shuttlecocks everywhere. I'm just saying. Like are you gonna get your own racket? Like maybe you do. Maybe you get your own racket. I don't know.
But I don't know how lucrative it is. But anyway.
I don't think it's lucrative at all.
Being an Olympic athlete is not super lucrative, again, unless you're Simone Biles or whatever. And she's up right now for her floor routine. I'm not sure what's on the line. We can't hear, but hopefully she crushes it. All right. Here's what Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco on their show, The Nightcap, started offering money to various athletes for gold medals, world records. This is great. I love this idea, and I think every athlete should participate.
How much are individual gold medals worth in each country by territory? The U.S.
Wait, we only get 37,000?
We should at least 200,000. Hey, no allowed. If you win the 100-meter gold, me and Ocho, 25,000 apiece.
Bet. You know, I don't like to spend no money.
You too, Sha'Carri.
You get that 100.
Nephew, hey, Rye, you win the gold, 25K. Noah Lyles trained 4 years for 9 seconds.
Noah, we got you. Oh, Sid.
Oh, the hurdle, yeah.
You might as well mail Sid her check now.
Yeah, that's 100K.
We good.
I'll pay $50,000 any American to break a world record. I don't give a damn what the event is.
Hold on.
Out of my pocket.
I got 50. Here go $50,000 right here. Sometimes you need a little motivation, right? I got another 50 right here. We not playing. $37,000. You done bust your ass for 4 years straight to represent our country, and the payout saying thank you for the work you put in is $37,000. Come on, man.
Incredible. That was a person, by the way. I believe it was Sid.
Yeah.
Just FYI, I checked. I heard the same thing you all did. I went and looked. It was a person that they were referring to. Oh, no, that didn't look good.
Twice.
She done that twice? Or oh, she's... no, Simone.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
I have no idea, but again, I don't know. I know nothing about gymnastics. This all looks incredible to me.
You step out, that's not a good thing.
Okay. But like, I don't know how bad of a thing it is. Everything else she's doing seems incredible.
Yeah. I mean, what she can do on the floor exercise is crazy. The height that she gets, the athleticism, the strength, like
the explosiveness is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Just,
I would love to see gymnasts get onto the, you know, the leaping pad that NBA teams have.
Yeah.
Where you stand on it and they can measure the force you're creating when you jump.
Acceleration force.
I would love to see all the gymnasts on that. I bet it is a insane number.
Oh yeah, totally. So one of the Kings, one of the guys who does that for the Kings, who measures all of the acceleration, mm-hmm. deceleration, in the past, he was part of the USA men's volleyball team. He was on the training staff. Yeah. And that's where I think a lot of that came from,
which is
crazy. Because
the volleyball guys, when they jump,
the volleyball guys, like, incredible.
Crush a diamond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They, like, some of the leaping ability is bigger. Like they have higher verts than NBA players. Yeah. There used to be a female volleyball player from, I want to say, from Cuba that was, like 46 inch vertical, a female with like something crazy.
46 inch
vert?
Something
wild. Yeah, like maybe 15 years ago.
You're on the basketball team.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow.
So we'll see. We're awaiting scores right now. If you don't want to know, just turn the, we'll give an announcement that we're going to announce what happened with the U.S. women's gymnastics team and the team, portion of their final.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with Chad Ochocinco and with Shannon Sharp.
Me too, man.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing they're doing. And I would love to see, again, nobody's obligated to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really cool that they were just shouting out various athletes who they know and are either cool with them or their coaches or whatever. Just saying, yeah, hey, if you win a gold medal, here's $50,000. For you to go win a gold medal instead of the 37K or whatever they get.
Yeah.
That's 37,000. This is always tough. If someone wanted to give me $37,000 right now, I would take it happily. And it would dramatically impact my life. But given for 4 years and all the work they put in, you get 37 grand for reaching the pinnacle of your sport. You won. You did it. You've accomplished this goal that you have been... that you have been chasing for 1,300 days or however long it's been, and you wind up with, yeah, hey, here's 37 grand for your 4 years of work. Good work. Thanks.
We're going to do a spoiler alert.
I need more athletes jumping out and offering
too.
Cash.
I do too.
That would just be a cool thing.
Yeah. I would even love it. Like, you know, some of the NBA guys that are there, like, there are so many opportunities to help out here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, one of the guys they were talking about, like the 100-meter guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, his entire career is going to come down to 9-point-something seconds. Mm-hmm. And whether you win gold or not, and then what do you have from... like, you can tour the world as the world's fastest man until you're no longer the fastest man.
Until you're 30?
Yeah.
35, maybe?
Yeah, I guess you could do like inspirational speeches and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more money in this than
some sports
we know about.
Yeah, for some sports, but think of all the other sports that they're not, that there is no...
Think of if there was a major league track and field.
Mm-hmm.
How much money those men and women would be making?
Yeah, I think there is some sort of... well, I mean, you have all your circuit. You're like world champion.
I just mean if it was as if it was as popular. Yeah, love that Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco are doing that for these Olympic athletes. Yeah, spoiler alert, real quick. Countdown. Turn your radio down or your computer down in 3, 2, 1. Easy gold. Wasn't close.
Yeah. Amazing.
It's hard with the sound off, though, and you're not super familiar with the sport to know exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
They were crushing it, per usual.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Shout out to the Team USA women's gymnastics team.
They're awesome.
Yes.
I love that every few years there's just a new group, and they just become Olympic idols.
Oh yeah, like the darlings.
Darlings of the Olympics, yeah. Because everybody knows they're awesome. Oh, they're so good. Every year the US women's gymnastics team is great. So good for them getting it done once again. And hey, Jonathan Owens, Simone Biles' husband, pulling up, NFL player during training camp. Pulling up, got his Simone Biles like concert looking t-shirt on.
Oh yeah.
In there yelling, clapping. That's awesome. I love that for him.
Yeah, they if I'm not mistaken, the Bears said you can go ahead and go to the Olympics for like we're going to give you like a 4-day pass or something to go.
That's so sick. Yeah. What a cool thing. Good on the Bears. I like the Bears. Shout out to the Bears. I hope they're good. I want them to win the NFC North. That's what I'm rooting for. All the Bears fans in the chatty house.
That's salute. Right.
I'm pulling for them. Okay. I'm also pulling for this break. We'll talk more Olympics. We'll talk MLB trade deadline. Got some more people on the move. Some good idea or bad idea. And Brock Purdy yesterday had a rough practice. We'll tell you about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Fred Chatty House is the best. Lazy wanted to know when we're talking fantasy football. We said a few weeks.
Yeah.
Let the preseason get rolling. If somebody has a particularly notable performance in the preseason, or if somebody gets hurt or something, you know, we can talk about ramifications. But we'll start doing stuff closer to when redraft leagues start their drafts, which is generally after the final week of the preseason, that Labor Day weekend is kind of the area that begins to happen. And then the Chatty House just immediately, like Scooter pointed out, Chatty House just immediately. All right, cool. We're talking about it now. I don't have any fantasy takes. I haven't done any deep dives. I couldn't even tell you who's playing where right now.
Oh.
I got nothing for you.
How do you study for fantasy football draft?
I look at a team's roster and I go, love this situation. And I talk to Faraz.
Okay.
My buddy Danny Kelly, who does fantasy football for The Ringer. I'll ask him if I have a question.
Okay.
But mostly, I know that I'm in a dynasty league.
Yeah.
And I know who the rookies are. I'll Google dynasty fantasy football rankings. And whatever the first one is, I click on it and I look to give myself an idea of what I should be looking at.
Okay.
And that's kind of the extent of it. I just mostly go off of vibes.
Okay. I have a couple of websites that I trust that I go and I do a lot of reading on. And, you know, like, again, I've played forever, but like sometimes I'll do like a ranking system. Mm-hmm. Like me and my son will sit down and like, where do we rank this guy, this guy, this guy? And then that's where we usually start seeing that he likes somebody more than I like them. Mm-hmm. And or I like somebody more than he likes them. And we kind of go through and we like build out our like our grand scheme. And then we have like a rudimentary, like, okay, you know, we keep Mahomes because we have to.
Yeah.
Although it's not recommended in a lot of leagues to draft a quarterback in the first two rounds. And then we keep one other. And then it's like, how do we attack the, we'll probably keep CeeDee Lamb if he's.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah. Then we got to figure out if we're going to, you know, what running backs we can draft early.
Sure.
To make sure that we sure everything up. And then,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. I've been doing it for way too long.
Yeah, I also don't have a. If I had a friend or child that I was doing this with, then I'm sure I would make it more of a thing.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna jump on there on draft day and literally I'm gonna look at whatever the Yahoo or ESPN rankings are, mm-hmm. or I'll pull up the Ringer fantasy rankings. I'll pull up whatever Faraz has.
Okay,
and I'll just kind of cross match and there's times where, let's say it's Kyle Pitts, the tight end from the Falcons.
Yeah.
And it's a redraft league, so just a normal fantasy league, not dynasty or keeper or anything.
Got it.
And he's available when I'm picking, and he's the best player on the board. I'm not just going to automatically take him because I don't want him.
Yeah, got it.
I don't want him on my team. So that's how I just kind of, a lot of vibes.
Okay.
I don't win often, by the way. Except there was one year, I'm not going to name names, but we did at the 95.7, we did a 95.7 station league, and someone who is or was at the station bought in and said, yeah, I'll play, here's, you know, it didn't pay, but said, yeah, I'll play. They changed the day of the draft. They had a date. One of the people in the league needed a change, so they changed it, made it clear to everybody. That didn't work for the person who was in, who the person who I'm talking about, person A, we're gonna call them.
Yeah.
I didn't work for person A, and so person A's team got auto drafted, and one of the players who got auto drafted was J.K. Dobbins right after he had gotten hurt.
Mm.
Because he got hurt like the day they did the draft, so Yahoo hadn't caught up yet.
Got it.
So he got auto drafted, J.K. Dobbins, and he said, you all are doing this on purpose.
Oh, you cheated.
You purposely invited me in to be the sucker so I would get J.K. Dobbins with my first pick.
Mm.
I'm not paying. I'm not playing. Goodbye. And quit.
Oh.
So they needed someone to pick up this team.
Okay.
And it was a $100 buy-in. I'm not doing that. So I was like, I'm in. I'm not paying $100. So if you need someone to run the team until somebody else pays the $100, fine. And our boss got involved and he's like, I'll spot the 100. You run the team. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Wound up in the semifinal. I picked up Cordarrelle Patterson off waivers. Ooh. The year he went off,
mm-hmm.
for Atlanta. And he just carried the team. The team had like Davante Adams. Might have had Derrick Henry. It just, the team was stacked. It was a really good team. But he didn't want to do it because he had to. I literally picked up Cordarrelle Patterson with J.K. Dobbins, who I cut.
Oh, that's wild.
I mean, and Patterson fell apart down the stretch for me.
Yes. Yeah.
and we did not do well. We fell in the second round of the playoffs, but
we usually have somebody that we've got hiding that we know is going to be really good late in the season.
Yeah.
And we'll just wait and wait and wait. And like, should we cut him? Should we not? Like, and then there comes that like week eight, you know, like 65 yards and a touchdown. And then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
They're like, they help you finish off the league.
That's where rookies are so tough.
Yeah.
That's right. Because, yeah, hey, I really believe in this rookie, but he's not super involved early. But come fantasy playoff times, he's going to be wide receiver two. And that's, anyways, fantasy football. We'll have Fantasy Friday, of course, with Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy and Odyssey podcast. Every Friday, you can jump in, you can ask questions. I think what we're going to try and do this year is have people be able to call in.
Oh.
So you don't have to be in the chatty house to get your fantasy football questions answered.
Okay.
And we just do that for 25 minutes. Faraz just answers questions. It's great. It's so informative.
Great. Yeah.
We have a great time.
So informative. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
We have such a good time with it. Yesterday in practice for the 49ers, speaking of football, Brock Purdy threw three interceptions.
Oof.
First padded practice. Watch out, everybody.
Well, clearly it's time to trade him.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Where I land with where I land with the practice interception thing is Kevin Clark at The Ringer wrote about this years ago. It's Patrick Mahomes' first year as a starter. And in training camp, he was throwing a ton of interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaching staff was not worried about it at all, and Mahomes wasn't worried about it at all, because they more or less said, this is him figuring it out. He's figuring out what he can get away with, what he can't get away with, what receivers can make, what kind of plays, what receivers can't. And this is the space to do it. This is your runway to figure that out. Which is why I don't take stock of practice interceptions at all. Now, if it was a matter of man, he doesn't know the offense. He is consistently throwing to the wrong player. He's not seeing defenders. This is a disaster. Mm-hmm. Okay, then let's talk. But when it's, you know what? Tried to fit one into a tight window. It got intercepted. I had another one bounced off his receiver's hands, got intercepted. Another one just kind of ill-advised throw under pressure. I don't have it in me to get riled up or to care about practice interceptions. I can't. Brock Purdy has done enough that I'm not worried about that for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not worried about that at all. I mean, that's what practice is for. And, you know, like if you've been in a football practice, like a lot of times you're running the same exact play like six times, right? Like your formations, everything is really basic, especially early.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got dudes who decide to be superheroes and jump a route because they know what's coming.
Yeah, exactly. They're super familiar with your offense.
Yeah, yeah. So it is your guys, and they're all playing off the same playbook. And so you are going to have guys who like make nice plays, but again, they kind of know what's happening. They know what's coming. And so, yeah, like there's a familiarity there. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned at all.
No. Yeah. So in case anybody saw that and was worried about it, don't be.
No.
Now, if every day Brock Purdy's throwing three or four or five interceptions, all right, let's talk about it.
Okay.
But the one I'm not going to be super concerned about what's ahead for old Brock Purdy. A's Giants tonight at Oracle Park. Oh. Robbie Ray on the bump for San Francisco. J.P. Sears on the mound for Oakland. As of now, no trades for the A's.
It's wild.
That could change as the trade deadline nears. It's at 3 o'clock today. So perhaps something changes between now and then, but it looks like the A's are content to stand pat unless they get some kind of deal they can't refuse for somebody like Lucas Ersig, one of their relievers. The Giants have won five of their last six. The A's have been a lot better in July. I'm not as interested in the actual matchup here as I am a couple of things with the whole Bay Bridge rivalry. Does that resonate in Sacramento? Like, you're an A's fan who's from this area.
Yeah.
Did you have animosity toward the Giants the way I and my friends who live in the East Bay do?
Absolutely.
It still resonates. Everywhere.
Like, I remember going to a buddy's house for the 89 World Series, and we were, you know, like all amped up, and he had all of these signs all over the wall of all the stats,
mm-hmm.
and on orange paper and on yellow paper, like, so he had A's versus Giants and like hilarious. All the stats everywhere. All the stats were reversed. The A's were so much better that he stole the A's stats and put them on the Giants stats. So shout out to my guy, incredible. Dustin Hawley. Shout out, Dustin. Yeah, it was
I
good
respect
stuff.
That a lot.
But there were like two A's fans and like four Giants fans.
Okay.
And yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah. So the thing for me was I always felt like once those teams met up in the World Series, it was just going to be a thing forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that's just a thing now. So I was always interested if it did make its way up here, if there was a, like, locality to it. But I'm glad to hear there's not.
Yeah, I think the one thing about it, though, is the one time they did play against each other in the World Series, it becomes mm-hmm. it's the Bay Bridge series where the earthquake hits. And
yeah.
it becomes, like, the most storied series.
Yeah.
Like, really, of our time. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This, like, watching...
major historical event happened.
Mark McGwire, like, yeah. trying to reenact it, like, on the field while they're mm-hmm. interviewing him. And, like, I actually had a cousin who drove down to the game with her husband and kids. And her husband was a dirtbag. And they got all the way down to the game. And then he scalped the tickets. And they were standing outside while the husband with kids scalped tickets to...
Wow!
And then they got stuck in the city because of the earthquake. They were outside... scalping tickets.
Oh my,
with
what
kids,
a
which
just, oh.
they didn't know. So shout out to that guy too. Shout out, Barry. Good for you, schmuck.
That is a tough scene.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if that's still going to exist in Sacramento. I imagine it will.
I think so.
Even though
so.
It's not technically a Bay Bridge series, quote unquote, I feel like the rivalry will still be there. Let's bring in Kenny Caraway for the handoff. Kenny Caraway, noted Giants fan, in the building.
Yes, sir. With my White Sox hat on.
There you go. Yeah. The White Sox, big sellers at the deadline. You are hoping that the Giants do the same, clearly, by your choice of hat today.
Well, you know what the issue is? I talked about this a little bit yesterday. The real issue with the Giants in this trade deadline and everything
mm-hmm.
is that it feels like none of it matters. Whether they buy, whether they sell. And that's...
It's a tough
one of the
to
worst
be.
Places you want to be.
Yeah.
Where no, like, you don't really care what happens. I was talking about it yesterday. I guess I'm because of the structure of baseball, and it's not like basketball or football where if you tank, you get the number one pick and you're going to mm-hmm. see that guy next year and he's the greatest thing yet. Like 4 or 5 years, in the words of Kyle Shanahan, we might not be here Sunday. So why am I, 4 or 5 years from now, man, just win then. If that, the way baseball is set up, just win. If you want to be buyers, fine, whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. But they're in a spot where, like, they're uninspiring right now.
Yeah.
They're uninspiring. So
watching the back and forth, especially with our guys at 95.7,
mm-hmm.
they win a couple, it's like, you got to buy. And then they lose a couple, it's like, blow it up.
Right.
And I thought it was fascinating that they go sweep a 4-game series from the Rockies.
Mm-hmm. Awful.
Not a good team.
On the low,
and it's like,
one of the worst franchises since their inception.
They've never
won an NL West. Can you believe that? Since 1993, they've never won an NL West.
Is that right?
The time they got to the World Series, they were a wild card.
Oh, yeah, because that was the game 163 year.
Mm-hmm. Matt Holliday hits his chin on the plate and all this other stuff.
Oh.
So in 30-plus years, they've never won. They've never won a division.
Man, that's crazy. That's nutty. But... I was floored that they take these four, and the consensus was, well, now you have to buy.
Mm.
You don't. You for sure don't.
Right.
So I'm with you for that reason. Like, yeah, you can buy. You can say, yeah, let's go get whoever, pick a player,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to include Luciano in the deal, and here you go.
Mm-hmm.
That just, you should, if you were going to do that, he should have been on the table a long time ago for a move that was going to help a better version of this team.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
with you. It's a tough spot to be in.
They're in a real tough spot where it all comes back to Farhan. Like, no, I don't have any faith in Farhan. Has he found a couple of people in the system? For sure.
Yeah, he's not bad.
No, he is bad. But But he, you know, even what's the term? Even a blind squirrel finds a nut or something like that. Pause.
A broken watch
clock is work right
twice a day.
Twice a day. Yeah. All this other stuff. But he's not good at all. He's like probably good as like an assistant GM. Like he can find some talent here and there and do some stuff. But to run the whole thing, he's god awful.
My whole deal with Farhan is that I think some wires got crossed between the fan base's expectation and ownership's expectation. I think the fan base looked at his time with the Dodgers. And especially because they brought in Gabe Kapler, who was also with him with the Dodgers. It was a whole controversial thing at the time, right? And I think the expectation is at that point was, oh, he's the second coming of Andrew Friedman. They have money to blow, so they're going to spend all this money, and they're going to create this farm system that's like LA's, where they can ship out three top 10 prospects, and then in the next year have a top 5 farm system still. That's how this is going to be. When really, I think Giants ownership looked at his time with the A's and went, oh, we can moneyball this thing.
That's a good point.
We can piece this together. We don't have to spend big money because our guy Farhan is going to pay... I can't remember. Is Darren Ruff, and I can't remember who platooned with Darren Ruff, but he's going to pay those two guys less than what Mookie Betts is making, and going to get the same production. That I think that's what they wanted.
Yeah,
I don't think there was any interest in developing a farm system and doing all that.
Right. I mean, because the ownership now is just they're not invested in this franchise on the field. It's more about building condos and stuff like that around the ballpark and stuff.
Yep.
Like that. That's kind of what their vibe is. So. It's just all bad. I want to get, we got a couple minutes. I want to get your guys' thoughts on something I talked about.
5 minutes.
Well, and maybe this is more than a 5 minute. Matter of fact, I know it is, but I want to hear what you guys got to say anyway. This, I was listening to the Morning Roast yesterday and Butch was talking about, you know, the guys that they have in the system and this guy, I want to see him pitch. And they're like, but he's never pitched more than 100 innings and, you know, da 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 da. And I just got into this rant yesterday about the way baseball pitchers specifically are developed from my son's age, who's 11, where it's like, what happened to, like, you're a starting pitcher, you're going 7-8 innings. Like, what happened to that? These guys, he was talking about in the context of, I want to see this guy finish the season, but it's already more innings than he's ever pitched. And when he was in the minors, he only pitched 3-4 innings at a time. And What were you doing in the minor? This is a starting pitcher. Why are we trying to preserve to the fact that he's not even building his arm strength up to the point where he can throw 7 innings on the routine? And I say we go back to when we watched the game. If you were a top line starter, that was the expectation.
Right.
If you were the third guy in the rotation, it was like, I'm gonna give you 7 innings tonight. Then we go to the 8th inning guy, then the 9th inning guy.
Yeah, you want 230 innings out of your third starter at least. Yeah, even your fourth starter. No more. 200 innings. Yeah. So a couple of things. Number one, I think AAU ball, you know, like playing baseball year round, has taken a huge toll. I think weightlifting has become a huge issue with Major League Baseball. Like I've talked about this being in a Major League Baseball, like go to the clubhouse, go into their locker room.
Yeah.
Every dude there is yacked. You're like, what in the world? Like the smallest forearm on a dude in a major league is the size of a softball. It's forearms. So like every single dude there is so, I mean, they work out like crazy. So you got all these kids pitching a ton before they get even into high school.
That's it.
You got a bunch of kids pitching a ton in high school and then their AAU, their travel ball and everything else. And then they get to the bigs, and again, they've done all this weightlifting, all this stuff to tighten up things, and all of that, you're building all this muscle around little tiny ligaments that are still in the wrist, the shoulder, the elbow, and it's just a recipe for disaster, so
they're doing all this stuff to protect these guys, well, to quote-unquote protect these guys, like, oh, can't pitch them too much inning, don't want to blow his arm out, and they all end up getting hurt. They all get hurt.
I think that's it. It's everything James just said, built on top of the fact that the pitchers in those situations are specializing in pitching from the time they're 8 years old.
Yes.
And they are going to coaches and they have their tournaments on weekends where they're throwing, you know, 3-4 games in a weekend, and then they've got practice during the week, and then they're with their individual pitching coach during the week. Right. And I think the other problem is you've got it used to be when you had a dude touching 98, 99, it was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. But now you get all these dudes who are throwing 100 regularly, right, and the human body can't do that.
Yeah, they just do that all the time. I talked about they don't know how to pitch.
Like, yeah, they're throwers. They're throwers, not pitchers. Yeah.
Greg Maddux. Like, Greg Maddux probably couldn't throw 98, but he can go to 93, but he didn't always throw 93. Sometimes he give you 85 and hit placement and all that other stuff. They don't know how to do that stuff.
When I went to Davis, I would go play in the volleyball classes, and I was older. And I'm like, hey, we got an open court. Let's play doubles. And guys are like, okay, like a couple of guys jump. Oh, okay. And then I start playing. And this guy's like, okay, well, I don't hit. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't hit? He goes, well, I'm a setter. And I'm like, well, can you pass? He goes, I can set pass. And I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, you're a volleyball player and the only thing you can do is set? Like, well, what if they
Pitcher only is like a thing.
Yeah, what if they serve it to you? Like, and you're going to have to hit. Well, I'm not going to hit it. I'll put it in the spot. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, what is happening? So it's that, and it's that they're not playing multiple sports.
Yeah, true.
Multiple sports help.
Yeah, I agree.
Big time.
I just got so frustrated.
Last thing, you're right. We could talk about this for an hour. We have to go. Last thing on this. You said you want 230 innings out of your third starter. The last time a pitcher in Major League Baseball threw 230 innings in a season was 2016. David Price hit exactly 230.
Let's get rid of this word if that's what we're doing now. This is awful.
D-Lo and Casey coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We've been the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water and be nice, people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.